I'm so glad you're here.
Hello and welcome to Town Rituals Red Tent Gathering. In this episode, we're diving into the mysterious realm of dreams, the messages they hold, and how when we listen, we can elevate our knowing. Full disclosure, I'm a sleepwalker and a sleep talker. For years, as a result of a variety of medications and self-medicating with marijuana, I haven't always recalled my dreams. In those periods where I adjusted my meds and was not using weed, my dreams were strong and lifelike, so much that at times I struggled to discern whether the memory was a dream or something that happened in real life. Years ago, I had a period of vivid dreams, a snake slithering under my sheets. In another, there was a donkey laying beside me, having given birth to a mutilated, malformed horse. These dreams were powerful, frightening, and curious. I thought I understood them at the time, and they still remain some of the strongest when I recall dream memories. As a sleep talker and walker, my conscious self is aware when someone in the room is messing with me, trying to drive the conversation for a laugh and a giggle. It's incredibly frustrating within the dream, and I have managed to pull out a conscious F off and slip back into dreaming. I've also woken myself when I was near sleepwalking. I remember becoming aware through my conscious self of the very real danger about to occur as my subconscious followed the dream. In that dream, I was wandering about in a field. In real life, I was about to move my body out of bed and towards the edge of my bedroom loft. On that occasion, I heard a piece of me screaming somewhere on the edge of the dream to wake up, and I did. And let me tell you, it was a struggle to do so. I came awake to find myself sitting up in bed, feet planted on the floor, hands pushing my body to standing. Needless to say, I slept the rest of that night below on my living room couch. These are the parts of dreaming that cause me to be afraid of the messages I am receiving. Of late, I have had strong dreams, pulling out and finally working through deep-rooted feelings of frustration, lack of control and recognition in certain areas of my real life. My dreams have also confirmed that some of the personal choices I am making are the right ones, experiencing disappointment in myself through these dreams when I've fallen back into old patterns, waking to know that yes, this is the new way and those behaviors of the past to cope with life are no longer the right actions for me. I'm fascinated and a little afraid of what messages are coming my way, although I'm committed to keeping my heart open and trusting I will remain safe. Today, I've invited a few strong dreamers to talk about their experiences, their journey with dream interpretation, and how engaging with this part of themselves has transformed and opened them up to new possibilities, clarity, and a connection to the divine. Joining me today are Stacy, Rebecca, and Katie. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad you're here.
So dreaming is something I've avoided, and I am coming back to it. It's been a long time. I've actually been randomly, when I started dreaming, like messaging Stacy, like, this is like totally out of nowhere, but I started dreaming, and it's nice to have someone who is excited. So with that, I actually would like to start with Stacy.
Alrighty. Okay. So I'm just going to talk a bit about my dream life, my dream experiences. Since I was a kid, I remembered dreams like very vividly. And I was actually recording dreams when I was a child. I was very much into that realm. Often having dreams, like revisiting the same places in dreams as well. I found, as I got a bit older and I started smoking weed, I forgot my dreams, which is very common. And there just became this point in my life where I really relied on dreams to, you know, give me messages and to be like a source of inspiration for creating and for magic, really. And it just wasn't happening anymore. So I had to make the choice. Was it going to be weed or dreams? and dreams won. And it was actually quite challenging to get back into dreaming after I wasn't dreaming for years. So I had to, just do some exercises to get back into it. So I remember going to like the library and picking up some lucid dreaming books and trying to figure out what I was going to do. So, I guess I'm just going to talk about how to start remembering your dreams if you're having some trouble.
Please.
Okay. So one thing is like sleep is really important and putting yourself on a regular sleep schedule. So I kind of had to put myself to bed around the same time. Also, before going to bed, it was really important for me to just want to be able to dream. So, it was a goal of mine and I had to really, focus on the fact that I wanted to remember my dreams. And throughout the night, if I woke up, I would pretty much write down, a word that reminded me of the dream if I couldn't, record it. And dream recall and recording is so important if you want to remember your dreams. Even if you start with a word or even just a color, it can help access more information. And then, in time you can really remember, everything. It's like a movie. So I would wake up, in the middle of the night if I had to, and I would just write down something and then, go back to bed. Eventually, after doing that for a while, I remember like when I quit weed, I couldn't sleep very well either. So, taking melatonin is also pretty helpful. So I had to do that. And then, after a while, just from getting into, my regular schedule, I was able to start remembering dreams a bit more. There's also some herbs that you can take if you want to help with like more lucid dreaming, which is something I became more interested in. And I would be drinking mugwort tea, which was supposed to help to enhance lucid dreaming. The only thing with mugwort is, and lucid dreaming, is that you don't actually get a really good quality sleep because your mind is quite active while you're doing it. So you can wake up a little bit tired. I also did this like reality check through, and I looked pretty weird because I was in school at the time, and I would like walk through the hallways and like check my hands and just make sure that I wasn't in a dream. And that's just sort of this thing that you need to do when you are in a lucid dream, is to look at your hands and just do this reality check and see if you're dreaming. And once you realize you're dreaming, then you can access, that lucid realm. And I don't really do anything really interesting. In my last lucid dream, I ate someone else's poutine. It was just like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm lucid. I could do all this cool shit. And I remember I was going through Kensington and I was floating around. I'm like, what am I going to do? And I saw someone's fries and I was like, oh, I'm going to go eat that. Like, there's so much other cool shit that I could have possibly done. And I seem to just do like the dumb thing. So whatever.
Well, eating fries sounds pretty good.
Yeah. I think I really just needed to eat some fries after. That's what it was telling me. Yeah. So that was kind of funny. But now I do journaling as well when I wake up in the morning. And so I record my dreams and just my, everyday life kind of stuff. And I can see, the connections that, come from the dreams in my day life. I did have one really cool quick dream that I'll share. And this was from a long time ago. And it is about messages and about, being able to do your own sort of dream interpretations and looking into it once you can really get a good picture of your dream. But I used to work at Le Chateau for a really long time. And I remember just my mouth was bleeding and I ran to the bathroom and I started just like spitting out all my teeth. And I know a lot of people have talked about these teeth falling dreams. Uh-huh. And I know if you open up a book, some people say, oh, like you miss your dad, or, some stuff that doesn't seem to make much sense, but really it's whatever makes sense to you. And so as I'm spitting out my teeth, I step out of the stall and there's all these people that I've worked with at Le Chateau standing around me. And they're like, are you okay? And I just turn around and I'm smiling and my mouth is just bloody. And I'm like, yeah, I feel amazing. And literally I woke up and I said, I need to quit my job. Like me spitting out my teeth was me just, you know, I needed to let go of that job. Cause I was there for like 7 years. And I actually called immediately and I just said, I quit. I had this dream and you guys were all in it. And I just need to not be here anymore. So I do make impulsive decisions based on my dreams. Mm-hmm. And it's usually at these like high points in my life where I really do need to make a change and it's just going to come through the dream and tell me what to do. And that's sort of where I go into like, you know, prophetic dreams is it's telling you, you know, where you should be. And it, you know, I don't actually really know what I'm trying to say.
No,
like, like it's just telling you what you should be doing, you know, and it might just keep showing up over and over again until you make that change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was quite an interesting thing for me. Yeah, I'd say, you know, the main thing is if you really want to remember your dreams, you have to want to remember your dreams, and it does take work and discipline. I'm going to be honest, like this week I haven't been sleeping well and I haven't been remembering my dreams as much. So I know this upcoming week that I'm going to really pay attention and put myself to bed at a good time. Yeah.
Sleep is medicine for the brain. I've learned mm-hmm. that. Speaking of having reoccurring dreams, I'm going to pull Rebecca in because that was something she had mentioned, that she's had some of the same reoccurring dreams mm-hmm. since you were a kid.
Like since I was, yeah. So, yeah. So I feel like in my whole life, I've never been someone who's necessarily remembered dreams, except for these reoccurring dreams, which my first one was when I was just thinking about it before. It was when I was three, and my sister was, I'm going to say 6-ish months old, because she was crawling in my dream, and this is 40 years later, so I don't remember exactly anymore, but this was recurring for quite a long time, and I don't even know if I had the words to tell my parents about it, but there was this dream where my sister was crawling, and she was trying to get down from something, and her head fell off, and her head was crying, and I and like this was something that just kept happening, and I don't know, maybe just because now I'm a big sister, and that was just weird, who knows, I've never... But so that was reoccurring. I also had these two like travel, not that, oh no, I guess I was traveling, but one was like this weird underground streetcar dream where there's just tunnels of streetcars. And I don't even remember if I was lost, but it was just, I was just there. And then another one where I was in this airport/train station trying to get somewhere. And I don't even think I was concerned, but it was just like, okay, well, I have to do this thing now and this thing now, but it was always the same place. So that was also odd. So definitely reoccurring, like, so that was when I was like, the streetcar dream and my baby sister head crying dream was when I was really young. And then once I was in my 30s, I started having, no, actually one more before I grew, like before I became an adult, was I used to have dreams about the day before I would get my period. I would have a dream that I got my period. And it was never like an embarrassing, like, oh no, my white pants kind of dream. But it was just like, I got my period, and then the next day I would get my period. So that was kind of neat. Sort of before you start figuring out what your cycle is when you're like a teenager. And then I started having, probably in my late 20s, 30s, I started having prophetic dreams about people having babies. And unfortunately, quite often when they've lost their baby, I actually had one about myself losing my baby, having a miscarriage, but also other people, and other people's struggles with their children. Like I had a dream once where I was seeing a friend who had one child, but in the dream she had two children, and she had a boy and a girl, and then she had her baby and she ended up having two boys. And then it turned out, I'm going to say about 10 years later, that her eldest is actually trans. So it was just like, blew my mind when she, you know, confided in me that she had a daughter. And I was like, but that was my dream 10 years ago, that you had an older daughter and a younger son. And like, whoa. So that was kind of cool too. And I actually had a dream about that child being born, and they were a cat, but the cat looked like the child does now, so it was very weird. Anyway, so the prophetic dreaming has had me like, what? And I've often thought, okay, well, if this is happening, you can help it along, but I just haven't had the discipline. And unfortunately now I have inherited the family insomnia. So I take THC CBD oil before I go to sleep, which helps keep me asleep. Because what happens, my insomnia usually wakes me up at about 2:30 in the morning. And then I can't go back to sleep. So that the THC CBD oil keeps me asleep. Or at least if I wake up too high and I can't stay awake. And then I go back to sleep. So unfortunately, I haven't been dreaming recently almost at all that I can even remember. So yeah, what Stacey was saying, and even Steph was saying about the THC consumption, is sort of dulls all that part. And that, yeah.
Can I ask you a question about your prophetic dreaming? Did you find that when you were having those dreams about women and pregnancy, that it gave you this space of knowing that allowed you to provide support without like really prying into people's lives, that you were able to, oh, I need to show up for this person?
Yeah. And definitely, there was definitely one instance. I didn't confront most, it was happened about maybe about four times. And I confronted one person about it. Specifically about the loss, because I didn't want to be like, I was like, I had asked a few people, are you pregnant? Like, sort of like, and they all kind of said no. And I was like, shoot. But one actually did confide that she had been and that she lost it. And I did, that I had a dream about it, because I was like, I don't want to freak you out anymore. But yeah, it's sort of giving that, sort of going, okay, well, but you said no, but maybe you're going through something, regardless of whether it was actually pregnancy or not, but
yeah,
birthing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you mentioned a good point, like where you didn't want to share that dream with, like, say, because there's kind of like ethics, I feel, when I dream about someone, like depending what the dream is, like, do I want to tell them? And if I do, I always ask for first, like, you know, I had a dream about you.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear it? So yeah, there's also when you dream about someone, just like, do I share it? Don't I share it? How do I like approach that?
Yeah. And actually with my friend who's now has a daughter, who has a trans daughter, I told her 10 years later, but I didn't tell her at the time because she was sort of, anyway, it doesn't matter that part, but I told her 10 years later, she was like, what? That kind of thing. And, you know, and I sort of knowing her, knowing that wouldn't have been appropriate at the time. about having different children than she had.
Wowzers. Yeah. That's well, that brings me to, so Katie, I know that you do dream interpretation, and you had said something outside of this recording about that really only the person that the dream, like you can talk to others and you can look up things about your dream, but really it's based on your interpretation and how you take it. And you mentioned the ethics piece around dreaming. And I wonder if, we can talk about this further, but if when we're dreaming about someone else, is it actually about them or is it about what that person represents to us?
Yeah. And I think it could be either. It really depends. Like I really believe that only the dreamer can answer that. I personally don't believe there's some thoughts that everything in a dream is a representation of yourself. I personally don't believe that, but for that dreamer, so it'd really be exploring the dream and what like that person, you know, is it a part of you or is it actually that person?
That's pretty fascinating. Well, Katie, do you want to maybe go into a little bit more about your own journey into dreams?
And sure.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating.
I'm really excited to be here. I love dreaming. I've always been a really big dreamer, and dreams play a very important part in my life. Like Stacey, I started recording my dreams probably when I was like 10 or 11. And I've just always been, I didn't realize how important they were until someone was like, you know, you should be a dream worker. And then I was like, yeah. And so the past few years, I don't like the term dream worker because I don't like the word worker, but I've been studying very part-time, just like different aspects of dreaming. And so I thought I would just share a few things that I've learned that have helped me better understand my own dreams. And the first is that, I don't like the word interpretation. I feel when you do interpretation, it's using like something that someone else is saying, like, oh, if you dream of a tree, it means this, or like, I feel like there's like solid definitions to interpretation. So I like to look at dreams as, you know, what is it calling attention to, or what is the action required? And I guess there is a bit of interpretation in that, but rather than looking for like definite meaning, it's like, why is this dream coming to me? And what is it offering me to like move forward or for healing? And that, yeah, as you said, Steph, that, you know, only the dreamer can really know what the dream is offering. And I think as people start to like better understand their dreams, one way to help learn how to understand, because dreams can be really confusing because I feel like we're speaking different languages sometimes. So like dream sharing, you know, in a circle, you know, if someone shares their dream, then everybody can kind of give their thoughts on it, again, from their own perspective. But I find sometimes it's like a narrow focus when it's your dream, whether if you hear other people, like their thoughts, it's like, oh, okay, that really resonates with me. Or, you know, that's giving me something to think about that I hadn't thought about before. Another thing is that like dreams don't need to stay the way that we have the dream. So I used to get a lot of like work anxiety dreams. And then I realized like, if I can, you know, get to a calm state and go back into that dream, I can like shift the dream. So maybe I can have a conversation with a coworker that I need to have, or change a situation. And I often found in my waking life, the anxiety that I was having about that situation really shifted, where I could change the dream, or I could like change, you know, what I was saying, or the result. So dreams don't have to stay, in my opinion, dreams don't have to stay how we receive them. You know, if you're getting a reoccurring symbol or image or messaging, like, is it a, you know, a power animal that's showing up, or is it a dream teacher? Like, I know for me, when I get a reoccurring dream of aquariums with plants in them, that's highlighting that like my body or my ecosystem is out of balance. So I need to sleep more. I need better care of like my diet. So I know, like, I've recognized those symbols or that like teaching in my dream that that's like, okay, that represents my body and I need to like really, you know, focus on my health. Another thing with like trying, if there's a dream, like if you're thinking about a dream 2 or 3 years later, there's probably like a reason, like there's something in there for you. And so if it's not sort of coming to you, there's other ways that you can work with the dream. Can you draw it? Can you dance it out? If the dream was a color, what color would it be? Where do you feel it in your body? So there's other ways to like try to understand the dream if it's not sort of connecting with you, but you keep thinking about it or you keep having it. And as I mentioned I think when I started talking, is that sharing dreams is I think it's really important because we spend so much time sleeping and dreaming, especially when you start, you know, paying more attention to dreaming, but we don't talk about it, or people are like, oh, it was just a dream. And I hate hearing that. I was like, no, if you're still talking about it at dinner time, there's probably like, there's some juice in there for you to like unpack. So the importance of, I think, respecting dreams, or just like, why is that being offered to you? So those are just some things that have really helped me with my dream appreciation and gratitude for the dreams and how I can work with. I don't think every dream necessarily needs to be a big dream, but I think if you're still thinking about it, then like how I, you know, can help someone or help myself like understand what needs to happen with that dream.
That's fascinating. When you were talking about being able to go back into a dream, it brought to mind that in the last few weeks, I've had a reoccurring theme of frustration. And right. I understand where this is coming from me. But I had this one dream that I kept waking up from the sense of frustration that, it, you know, it was all over my body as well. And then I'd roll over and I'd go back to sleep, and I kept going back to this dream where I had shown up at a wedding and I didn't have my tools. The people didn't have the paperwork. Like, it was just all of the things and anxieties that could go wrong in a wedding or in some type of ceremony. In this case, it was specifically about someone else's wedding that I was performing. And it was on the cusp of me actually getting sick, but I got to a point where this had gone on for so long over the course of the night that I actually had to get up and restart my bedtime routine, go to the washroom, brush my teeth, my hair, walk around the house, check all the doors and the windows, whatever the routine was, and then crawl back into bed. And then as I crawled into bed, I pulled up images of something that brings me a lot of joy and comfort that I'm very much in love with and love, and meditated on that because I could not put myself back into that frustrated dream state. It was also on the cusp of me starting to dream again. And in my dreams, seeing all these real life frustrations playing out in my dreams, in my home, on my property, right down to, like, I live, my house is weird that it looks like a commercial space, but men urinate on our front door all the time. Right? So it was just every big and little thing that frustrates me currently in life that I cannot change. I can't do anything about some of these things over the last few weeks have just been surfacing. But that one dream, I didn't know how else to get out of that loop. And that feeling of frustration. So how do you move out of a dream that you keep falling back into?
So for an example with that, I would go in and try to examine where, like, move through the frustration. Like, can I resolve the issue in the dream? Can I get the paperwork ready? Can I ensure the client? No, like, you know,
you're right.
This is at a time, I think, where you said that where you had stopped, smoking, then perhaps there's like an element of like where those, maybe those two worlds are crossing. But if you could just be like, okay, what is causing stress in the stream? Okay, well, let's make sure all the checks and balances are done. Like, just move past that. Or, okay, so what happens if that didn't happen? Like, how would I handle that situation? So potentially it's like, I don't want to project on you, but if I had that dream, like, am I prepared for different scenarios? And how will I, so just being prepared, like, okay, what happens if that didn't happen, or X, Y, Z?
Can I help for I find if I am having trouble dream, an anxiety dream, when I do wake up, I will start to journal and look into what I'm feeling anxious about. And what I would do in that dream situation is I keep doing this thing called and then. So I just keep going and then to, like, the, you know, worst possible scenario and finding, you know, my way out of it. So how would I solve these problems to bring myself back up? I find that really helps if I'm feeling anxious over something in a dream. You just keep saying, and then what, till you make it better.
That feels like a good tool for working through some stresses or anxieties, even in your waking life, right? That, you know, what's the worst possible outcome of ABC situation? And then, and hopefully you're not, you know, a person wouldn't be spinning into more stress and anxiety. We haven't touched on this, and I'm wondering if any of you have experience with sleep paralysis.
No.
Yes.
Thank goodness. Yes.
Yes. Terrifying. I'm
gonna start us off. Yes. Terrifying is the same word. Yes. Yes. Yeah,
because I know I'm awake, but I can't open my eyes. I can't move anything, but I know, like, mentally that I'm awake. And so I had it for really bad for maybe 2 or 3 years. And I was eventually able to just be like, okay, you've been here before. You just need to, like, ride it out and just breathe. Because I would get really stressed about it. And then it's like, okay, just breathe, and that eventually your body will connect with where your mind is.
Wow.
Yeah.
It took a while. Like, I find it very stressful.
It is. It's quite freaky. I remember the first time having it, I thought I was, like, possessed by the devil.
Uh-huh. And I was like,
yeah. And you know, I still get it every now and then, but there were moments where I was getting it literally every time I'd take a nap on a couch.
Me too.
It's daytime, right? It's
the only time weird. I would get it. That's so interesting. On my back on a couch in the afternoon. Yeah. That's really interesting.
I know. And you know what I started doing is I became so used to it that I was like, I got to make friends with this thing. And so eventually, like, I realized, okay, I'm having an outer body experience, and yeah, it's uncomfortable because I'm like, I feel paralyzed. And so, like, your mind is waking up before your body. And what I would hallucinate a lot while I was doing it. And it's super weird, but I kind of use it as an oracle. I, like, started asking it questions and I would get answers, and I was trying to actually have fun with it. So there was a moment of, you know, it almost enjoying the experience, even though I really didn't want it happening. I would have rather just woken up, you know,
yeah.
But I was like, hey, let me just work with this thing. And I think that's all you can really do, because it just sucks.
Yeah. The one and only time it happened for me, I was in outer space floating above guitar strings towards the earth, and it was the most, to date in my life, the most awful sound I have ever experienced. And it was like, the dream was really interesting. Even when I think about it now, like, it was lovely, but the sound that was happening for me and the inability to move. And I remember the person that I shared a bed with at that time saying, like, what was going on with you last night? Like, you were making these weird panicky moans. And at some point I did wake up and I couldn't get back to sleep. I was so terrified. I ended up pacing the house, and then I went on the internet to start looking up, and I found on YouTube other people had, like, recreated a similar sound. And I started to listen to it and I cut it off. I was like, no, I can't do this again. It's never happened again. I never want it to happen again. I don't think I've ever been so terrified in a dream, but more terrified of the sound. It was so awful.
Ooh, I remember the sound for my first one too, actually. I know, I want to go find it. That's interesting.
Was it like a pleasant sound or shocking?
No, it was not pleasant at all. I was terrified. I woke up like shaking after, you know. Yeah. Huh.
That's interesting. Ooh. I very rarely have sounds in my dreams. So when I do, like, it's actually like, you know, I really pay attention to it, but I don't recall any sounds when I have sleep paralysis.
It was awful.
I find it's like a vibrating sound.
Yeah, I wonder if that's your body, like that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fascinating. Oh my gosh. Where did it go? I had a note here. Let me see if I can find it here. Well, Stacey, you had mentioned something about like a reality check for lucid dreaming.
Yeah. 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 So what I would do throughout the day is just kind of stop and just gather my awareness, you know, look around, look at my hands. And the hand check actually works. So when I am in a lucid dream, when I think, oh, you know, is this a dream or is this reality? I look at my hands and then I know that I'm lucid. I don't know. It was just this. I just trained myself to do that. And then once I realized, oh, okay, I'm lucid, I can do whatever I want. But I think it was just from the repetitive, you know, motion throughout the day, just kind of stopping, looking around, looking at my hands, touching myself, and then continuing.
Yeah, apparently the same if you try to read something or like look at like a light switch or something. I have a friend who's a big lucid dreamer and he has to be really careful. Like sometimes he'll want to like run and jump off the cliff because he thinks he's it. But he has to make sure that like he can't tell sometimes if it's in waking or like lucid state.
Whoa.
He'll like try to read something because he said when he's dreaming he can't read or look at his hands.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wow, wild.
That's wild.
Like that's almost debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he's like, I have to be very careful when I do things because I'm really not sure where I am at.
Have any of you seen the film, which is based on, I forget his name, but he's a comedian who is an extreme sleepwalker. And the film that he made, it's called Sleepwalk With Me. Have any of you seen it?
No.
There's this scene, and apparently this actually happened in real life, that he launches himself through a plate glass window off the second story, like through the second story of a hotel.
Because he thinks he's dreaming, but he's not?
Well, he's sleepwalking.
Oh, he's sleepwalking.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sleepwalking.
Yeah. And it's fascinating if you're curious about what life is like for sleepwalkers. It is a fascinating and funny, but it's kind of dark because you recognize this actually happens to this person, even though he's made a kind of a film mocking himself. You laugh, but it's hard. At times it's hard because you're like, oh my God, they have no control. Yeah. A woman on TikTok that she's in Ontario. I've figured that much out, but she and her partner seem to have motion sensor cameras, and she puts out TikTok videos of her sleepwalking at night. And I have no idea how she doesn't wake up entirely exhausted. They're hilarious, but I watch that and I just think, if that's how you're moving and that's what's happening in your dream state, I can't imagine how tired you are when you wake up. I mean, there's a scene. And I've tried to find it again, but it's of the it's the camera on the outside of the house looking at their from their front door, and all of a sudden you see the screen door fly open, and you see her take off in her nightgown across their front lawn, and there's snow on the ground. And about 5 seconds later, her partner comes shooting out the door after her and guides her back to the house. I mean, that's the thing that freaked me out, right? It's that THC very much kept my sleepwalking in check. I mean, I've grabbed people in my sleep, and I already know that I started sleepwalking. It happened in the first week that I quit smoking. So it can be powerful and scary, and I don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue.
Mm.
And scary for the people who find you, because in my, I don't have any experience with it from, but from my understanding is you have to be very careful when you approach someone who's sleepwalking, you know, because you have to kind of meet them where they are and make sense in their world to either come back into the house or you don't want to like touch them. And that's my understanding. And please tell me if I'm wrong, but it, you know, there's etiquette and like care on how to approach someone in that state.
Yeah, I had a, I was sleeping at a boyfriend's place one night and all of a sudden his housemate, who was female, walked in the room and turned the light on and he was sleeping naked. So I actually don't sleep naked because I'm asleep, because I finally figured this out, why I'm so uncomfortable sleeping naked. It's because I might wake up and go somewhere. Sleep naked. But she burst into the room and turned the light on and was convinced in her dream state that his bedroom was her bedroom and he's naked. So he was like, I can't get her to bed. And he's, I'm trying to deal with it and turn her around. And, you know, just even trying to like gently, you know, so-and-so let's turn around. This is your new room. Like go back to bed. And that's what my mother used to do with us. She would just matter of factly go back to bed. And my brother and I would turn around and go back to bed.
Okay.
Nothing was working. She was convinced that she, that this was her room and she was crawling into the bed. And I'm trying to like push her back. I couldn't believe she was a tiny thing, how strong she was. Mm-hmm. And then the other housemate came home. He was a chef and he worked nights and he came up the stairs and he's like, Stephanie, what's going on? And I just yelled, she's sleepwalking. And he yelled her name with so much authority that she stopped and he said, go to bed. And then she just turned around and went to bed.
Okay. Oh my God.
He had no clue in the morning that it had happened. And we all laughed about it, but we don't realize how strong people are in their dream state as well. Like I grabbed my friend in my dream state, you know, in the morning, he was like, you know, you wouldn't let go, but then all of a sudden I just did. And I rolled over like nothing had happened. So it's a little scary.
Wow. Absolutely.
I hope I can get to where both of Katie and Stacey are with like your ability to like go into dreams and go back to them and re-explore them, because right now I have no control over what is happening in my dreams.
Well, I do that from waking state.
Do you ever go, are you able to go back to dreams?
When I'm dreaming?
Yeah, like if you wake up and then go back to sleep.
Sometimes, I mean, I generally don't want to, but when I go I haven't tried to do it from a sleep state again, but when I try to go back into a dream to change it or to understand it, it's from like a waking state.
Ah,
yeah.
That's a pretty good way to explore.
Absolutely. And at first, like, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm into this. Like, I'm like, I don't know. But the more I tried it, I started to see the value for me in it. And it's really helped me, like I said, especially with work, where I was able to work through just anxiety I was having. And just by shifting that dream, I stopped having those dreams.
That's really great. Mm-hmm. I feel so encouraged with coming into dreaming, right? Just, wow, there's a path forward and there's support there. Through dream sharing and arrow or using the tools. So I think you ladies had mentioned things like journaling. Mm-hmm. Mugwort. Someone else had suggested that to me and I was like, I have enough things going on in my brain right now. I am not extra.
It's more useful for lucid dreaming.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm ready to go there. I mean, I sleep well, so I'm are there any other tools or practices that you would suggest to people who are looking to get more in touch with their dreams?
Honestly, you know, I think journaling, not even just for dreaming, is the number one, really. Is to just getting into this, you know, repetition of writing. Uh-huh. Yeah, it just, because it allows you to, you know, look deep within yourself. And when you're dreaming, you know, you are visiting that your subconscious. And so I find as soon as I start journaling, just for an everyday kind of thing, my dreams have become so much more vivid. Uh-huh. Yeah.
For me, it would probably be, I I know it's like I used to always want to go online, like, what does this mean? Or like kind of like look at other people's ideas or interpretation. And so I really try not to do that and go on my own intuition. Like, why did the stone appear? Why am I always having this dream? And so I feel like there is value in other people's, you know, opinions or insight, but I try to not do that right away. And to like, for me, why is this coming into my life?
That's so fascinating. So I am going to, we had kind of, the group of us talked about this a little earlier, and I guess I'm going to dive into it, and I'm going to take us back to my dream about pulling back the covers and discovering a donkey in my bed that had just given birth to a malformed horse. I mean, it was like a bloodbath out of, what's that gangster movie when they pull back and there's the animal head? I mean, that's, but it was quite more grotesque than that. Yeah. But I wasn't afraid. I'll say that. It was not afraid.
That's good. I find like when I look into my own dreams, like the first thing I think of is like, okay, well, how did I feel in this situation? Uh-huh. You know, it's like, if you were, you know, kind of cool with it, then that's great. So that's always the first step I look into, is like how I was feeling upon the dream.
Yeah. I know what was, sorry, maybe, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, I would, if it were my dream, I would maybe look at what donkeys mean to me. It's like, if I have an affiliation or when I think of a donkey, what comes to mind, and is there anything that correlates in my life? For me personally, donkeys, I feel, are often like overlooked. They're not taken seriously. They're always there. They're reliable. They do a lot of hard work, but I feel they're not respected. And so if I were to have that dream, I would be like, okay, is that maybe how I'm feeling about at a certain time in my life? And then even like the birthing, you know, it was like mutilated, no, what kind of horse?
It was just a horse, I couldn't even tell you what kind of horse it was, but it was it was severely malformed.
Okay. And then even through that, like the birthing, like I would just wonder if that was something that was happening in my life that I felt like I put all this effort into and it didn't turn out, or people weren't like seeing all the effort that I put into it. Like, I think when animals show up, it's, for me, it's particularly important to like, what do they represent to me?
And have you dreamt of animals before that you can remember, Stephanie?
No, this was during a period of significant change. I was cleaning up my life. I was quitting my job. I was paying off all my debt. I had put a lot of limitations on myself in order to move forward with the goal of quitting my job and going traveling for an extended period of time. So it was a time of real exploration. I had even taken a vow of celibacy at that time. So even having this snake dream, which I understand kind of be of like sexual exploration and curiosity, was interesting because it was a part of myself that I had chosen to step back from in order to reconnect with my goals and where I wanted my life to be long term. Right. I just felt like intimacy and dating confused my life and shifted my focus.
But even when you think of the snake, I think of the root chakra and like Kundalini energy, which is, you know, very snake like. So it's almost like matching what you know, it's like the self in a way. For me, if I were to have, I don't mean to project, but when you were sharing that dream, I just felt like a real like energy like rising.
I would say that's correct for that time in my life. Yeah, there was a really big shift coming into a space of knowing myself in a way that I had not.
And like the shedding of skin, like a transformation.
Kind of that horse was, that deformed horse was a piece of me I no longer needed. And maybe something that had, not say, I don't want to say prevented me, but It was a grotesque part of myself that I needed to get rid of. Wow. I think that I've mentioned this dream to people over the years. I don't think I've ever really sat and picked it apart the way we just have. And I have a whole different perspective of it now.
Especially like for me, particularly donkey dreams, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just sensitive to donkeys, but when a donkey shows up, it's like really particularly powerful for me.
Yeah.
No, they're great dreams. And the fact that that you brought them up, what was that, like 4 years ago that you had those dreams?
15.
15. Oh, yeah. So yeah. For me, yeah, that would be like, yeah, these are huge. Yeah. And snake dreams are wonderful. I always think of like, energy and transformation and whatnot.
There was a lot of that happening. Sorry, Stacey.
Oh, I was just going to, Katie, do you dream about the same animals usually, or is it different?
So my, I would say my like dream guide is the humpback whale.
Ah.
So at times where there's a lot of transformation going on for me or something particular, I will have a dream with a whale. And I had a really powerful dream maybe 5 or 6 months ago where my dream teacher was there and this voice, my dream message voice was like, you must grieve. And it was such like a hard dream to receive because it made me realize like how much I'm like not letting go of or like how, like what I've got bottled in. But I had like that dream I had to take very seriously because it was from like, a dream source that I trust. Did that sound really hippie?
No. That's really beautiful. And I think that grief, and I've said this, I don't know if it's another podcast, but I have said this in Circle with Women that I think Westerners do not have a good process for grief and mourning. That we don't have good practices for letting it out. So to have a dream where your messenger that you trust is telling you it's time.
Literally, you must grieve. Like it was just the, like, and I haven't done it yet because that's like a huge task, but I think about the dream all the time.
Wow. But you're aware of it, right? Yeah. I mean, grief is a totally different podcast all on its own. and yeah, grief is confounding. I find it more confusing than love.
Yes. Right. Stacey, do you dream about a particular animal or Rebecca?
I dream about owls a lot.
Oh, okay.
No.
But I've never dreamt of a donkey, and that's why I was just thinking, like, I never had a donkey in my dream before. Like, maybe tonight, we'll see if it's a lucky night. But I usually get owls or turtles.
Yeah, okay, great.
Wow, this has been a pretty exciting conversation for me. I'm actually more excited and looking forward to getting in touch with my dreams and probably more sleepwalking. But knowing that I can tap into a piece of myself and work on things, and I need to not be afraid. Like I think I've been afraid of my dreams over the years because I haven't been ready for the messages.
Yeah, because they're hard.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm coming into that space, and I think like Stacey had said at the beginning of the conversation, she had to choose between this thing she was using or her ability to dream. And getting back to dreaming has definitely been one of my motivations for changing some of my life choices right now is, I need to connect with this part, but also knowing in a separate way that my connection with myself and the divine, there's a limitation so long as that behavior was there. And the dreaming is an important part of getting back to that as well.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, on that, I have a divine message. So I have this deck of cards and I've actually spent a lot of time last week trying to find like a prayer for dreams. And I really didn't find anything suitable. And so I went to my altar tonight before we met to record and I picked up one of my decks and I was like, oh, like what is the thing I need to share tonight? So I ended up pulling a card that says divine timing. So before I read this, I just want to see if there's anything else any of you want to share before I close this out for tonight. We've covered a lot.
If you hadn't have gone to an Oracle deck, what would you have said?
The dream that I pulled up is actually a well known. It's from the Jewish dream book. And it's blessed is the one whose dreams awaken us to goodness, mm-hmm. mercy, love, and compassion. Mm. Sustain us as we complete the holy work of perfecting and repairing the world. And that is by Vanessa Oach and Elizabeth Oach. So again, that's from the Jewish dream book. And then from the Oracle deck, the card I pulled was divine timing. The divine brings things in the timing that we need. Nothing comes before we're prepared, nor leaves too early. May I always trust your perfect and divine timing. So may it be. So ladies, once again, I just want to thank you so much for your time this evening. It's been so wonderful to hear about your dreams and what you think about my donkey horse dream.
love it.
It's been great. Thank you so much. And I'm so glad you were here.
Yay. So glad you're here. Thank
you. If you're interested in joining the monthly Ode Bitch Boast Gathering, you can find event listings and tickets, which are free, on Eventbrite, as well as on the Town Ritual Facebook page. Search Town Rituals online. If you'd like to participate in a future podcast, please send me an email at townrituals@gmail.com, noting podcast in the subject line. I'm so glad you're here.
Cool. Love you all. Thank you.
Love you.
As Bye. Grandma said, love you and leave you.
Wonderful.
That's hilarious.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.